The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
This is Mission Minded, keeping your mind, your mission, your mind with Michael Coleman. Michael Coleman, of course, the CEO of the Montgomery Area Food Bank, MAFB.org. If you want to help them out, they cover 35 counties. It was interesting, too, Michael, last night. We're recording the show here on the Monday of spring break, and we had some inclement weather last night, and I was looking and I was seeing all these counties. I kept mentioning every single county that you guys serve down there, which is unfortunate because they were obviously having tornado warnings and stuff, but I thought that's really cool that you cover so much of the southern and central part of Alabama. First of all, how you doing, brother? Everything good?
Yeah, doing great. Coming back off a week of vacation where nice. I got to go down to the Caribbean on a big old boat.
There you go.
Yeah, so it was good to get a little sun and get a little time away and with the family. Enjoyed that. It's just a common thing for those who are not in the central Alabama area this time of year. Tornadoes, thunderstorms come through, and we had some tornadoes hit last night. Thankfully, the damage doesn't look too severe. You know, I know in Mississippi they lost about 23 lives.
Yeah.
Just really hurting for those people over there. But, you know, we had a couple touchdowns here, but no significant damage that we were called out and had to take food and water to anybody.
So I want to get into signs that you may be about ready to get laid off or fired. And this came to me a couple of weeks ago. I think this will be kind of a fun show. Not fun for the person, obviously, getting fired, but it's happened to all of us. And there are subtle signs. This is not like the boss coming in and saying, listen, it looks like you're going to get fired. We're talking about different signs that perhaps you don't see or feel that may be indicators that your position may be given to someone else, or they may just get rid of that position altogether. And so I had a friend of mine who's been with this company for 23 years. I'm not going to mention the name of the company. He's a very good friend of mine. And he pretty much could walk through his day at work with his eyes closed.
Right.
He takes a lot of time off. He has worked his way up the ladder to the point where he's getting 6 weeks of vacation every year. He's got sons that do travel ball. Every time I call him, he's never at work. It's just like, dude, what kind of position do you have? You can do these things. And he brought up something really interesting to me about 3 weeks ago. He said, you know, we got this new boss in. There's a red flag right there. We sat down and he spoke with everyone in the company about what we're doing in our positions and how we can make our positions better and everything else. And for about, 3 or 4 months, he was all over me, really pushing me. And I was kind of like, you know, I was a leader and I was like, okay, I'll change up things. I'll do things a little differently. And so I was really getting after it. And he said, you know, with our new software and things, a lot of people hadn't learned the software and I was having a difficult time with it and stuff. And all of a sudden he left me alone. And I was like, okay, this is great. And you're laughing. And I'm like, oh no, oh no. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, this is the coach on a little league baseball team that's all over the kid because he knows he's got the most resources and the biggest gift in the team to be the most special player. And he wants to keep him after practice. He wants to teach this kid. And I said, you know, this is kind of like a God thing for me. When things get tough, God sees purpose in us. And he's like, you know what? I see something special in you. So we got some things to clean up so I can take you to a more fruitful land. The people he doesn't bother with, they are what they are. And he lets them go. And so I take that as a compliment when a boss comes down on me or says, listen, I think we can do things differently. And they're engaged in my position and what I'm doing. I don't look at that as a threat, sure, particularly after being in a business for 23 years. I saw it when I was a Cumulus, but all of a sudden I got really quiet. And you know what happened 2 weeks later?
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. He gave it everything he got. He's like, let's see what this kid's made of. And after 23 years, he got let go. So that's one of the reasons. And you can go, you know, 13, 15, 20 reasons why you think maybe you're going to get fired. But I did want to get your thought because you've been on both ends of this most recently. Obviously, you've been the boss of most places you've been through. But just your thought process on this whole topic itself.
Well, I tell you, from you see this. So you take this guy, 23 years, probably takes everything for granted. He's not at work. He's like, hey, I've built myself up. I'm at a certain level.
Yep.
I'm valued. So really my job is, you know, I can just go through the motions. And all of a sudden, so he may be getting great evaluations every year. They may just be being pencil whipped, or maybe he was meeting the previous boss's expectations. Well, you get a new guy in, and when people don't take that seriously, then and they start getting evaluated, and they're just like, oh, yeah, I get 6 weeks vacation. And they're like, well, we're going to this new software system, and you can't adapt to the new software system. And all of a sudden, the new guy's going, wait a minute, what value are you bringing to the company? Why, you know, we're giving you all this time off. I'm sure he was making a big salary, but you can't even do some of the basic, keep up with the basic software tracking system that we have. And so now that person just pushed his own self out of a job. I mean, because what he should have done, or I'll just take it away from your friend. A person like in that situation has to show the new guy that, hey, I am engaged, number one. I care about the company. And, hey, even though I'm having trouble, hey, I'm willing to work on my own time, work on the weekend. I'm going to figure out how to operate this system. But you have to show them that you care that you're struggling. In other words, that, hey, I'm invested in this job. But, you know, when we get – it's just human nature. When you get so far along, you're like, yeah, let me bring somebody in or whatever. I'm vested. I'm locked in. And then they find out, you know, 23 years, you know, we paid you for 23 years, but now your value's gone, and now it's time for you to move on.
What was it like when you got to – and obviously you're with the Jimmy Hale Mission, and then you went to the Montgomery Food Bank, and it's, this show started – about a year and a half ago, but I was so happy to see you make a transition from one job to another because it just gave us so many more topics to get into. But you, sure. you got the Montgomery Food Bank, and as the CEO, and you do have a board you must answer to. You sat down, and I'm imagining that you, I don't know how you, and I'm imagining you met with everyone individually, and I think we spoke about this. Did you start with the people with the most recent hires, or did you start with the people that had the most tenure?
No, I will tell you, we had, it was really a unique situation in that so many people had such longevity here. I mean, well, we had two people over 25 years, and we had a staff of 36 when I got here. Now, we're going to soon be up in the mid-50s, but when I got here, we were at 36 people, and I would say 40% of them had been here 8 years or more, and it was a lot of just going through the motions, just surviving day to day, just putting out fires. There wasn't really a real vision working towards something. So when I came in, I sat down with them and I said, hey, I want every one of you here. I want to look at what you're doing. I want to understand what you're doing. I want to see how well you're doing it. What is the system you're going by? How do you measure the effectiveness of your job? And what I found out was there was really none of that going on. The valuation system was as you see in so many places, which is just, it's inflated. So you can't tell your best workers because everybody basically gets, you know, the same evaluation because we don't want to do the tough work of sitting down and developing people and telling people where they need to improve and what they can do better. And so, you know, you just get into that and, oh, it's evaluation time. Everybody gets a pencil whip evaluation and so on. And I just told them, I said, listen, it's my job to make sure it's very, very clear what my expectations are, what your jobs are. I'm going to make sure your job description is crystal clear. I'm going to make sure you have all the tools, that you have all the resources, that you have everything you need to be successful. But then I'm going to hold you to a high standard. And that's not a standard of perfection. It's a standard of commitment to improving every day and doing the best you can and having the heart of a servant, because we're in the nonprofit world and we're serving people who are hungry or are battling food insecurity. And I said, those are my standards. And I said, I hope everybody fits that, but history tells me that's not going to be the case. And there'll be some that I have to invite to leave.
Yeah.
And that was it. And we had about, and so I've been there. I'm now in my 10th month, fixing to start my 10th month. And we've had about a 30% turnover.
Wow.
In people. Yeah.
Is that high?
I would say so. I would not anticipate that year to year. I mean, if you have 50, if I had 50 employees, I mean, let's just say if we had 36, if we flipped 12 employees left or were fired, then, you know, that's a third of your employees, 33%. Yeah, that's high for a 1 year turnover, especially for an organization that had people here for such a long time, had such longevity in the organization. But we brought new people in under a new culture, new expectations, very clear expectations, and they're doing great. And some were able to adapt and get on board, and others have struggled. Yeah. And those who have struggled to the point that they just were not willing to make the changes had to go somewhere else.
And there's a big difference between two. And by the way, this is Michael Coleman, Tony Curry here, Mission Minded, a show. We play at least five times a week on TKR and Tony Curry Radio, thanks to the 100,000 folks plus who have downloaded the TKR app. We do classic rock. We have 14 different shows. We have a brand new show with the Montgomery Food Bank. It's going to start here soon. And of course, you can listen to all of our shows on our podcast network, which is just blowing up big time. Anywhere you get your podcasts, are available on every major industry at Tony Curry Radio. There's a big difference between having a position that you hold eliminated just because there's no reason to have that position anymore, and having your position filled by someone new. And listen, I'm going through this with my 18-year-old son who works at Publix. It's his first job. Don't give them a reason to fire you. Don't give them a reason. And he is like, well, what if my position is being eliminated? I said, if you work really hard and they love you and you have a great attitude, they will create, you talked about this last week in the show, they will create a position for you. If you're working hard and for whatever reason, all of a sudden they stop making widgets and you're the top widget maker, they will find another position in their organization so you can stay on board.
It is absolutely so true. So I've said this, it seems like 1,000 people. I said, if you just come to work every day on time and you act like you give a damn,
yep.
And you're just a little flexible if they say, hey, yeah, I know we were going to be on A, but at the last minute we got shifted to B. If you're like, okay, well, let's get on B then. If you're just a team player and just come to work, let me tell you something, you're going to rise to the top. You're going to be the cream that floats to the top above all the other employees, because what the norm is people who don't show up. When they do, they bellyache, they gripe, they complain. They're not productive. They waste time. They make it miserable anytime. They're not flexible. It's like, no, you hired me to do A. I'm only going to do A. If you want me to do B, you need to pay me more. Just not a team person. And so what you want to be is you want to be the opposite of that. You want to come in. You want to be excited to be at work. How can I help this company? How can I help the team? Show that, hey, I'm willing to learn. Hey, you need me to do this? Hey, I don't know how to do it, but if you show me, I'll be glad to learn. Because I'm going to tell you something. It's very true that knowledge is power. So think of it like this. If I'm looking at a company, and let's say I've got a guy who knows how to do widgets, and he's a great widget maker. That's all he knows how to do. But I've got another guy who knows how to make widgets. Maybe he doesn't make widgets quite as good as this other guy. But you know what? If I need him to file paperwork, he files paperwork. If I need him to make errand runs, he makes errand runs. If I need him to mop the floor, he mops the floor. Whatever I need him to do, he's there. And he knows how to do so many other things because he's just a team player. That guy is more valuable, even though he doesn't necessarily do the one thing better than that other person. He has a better attitude. He's work on time. He's just dependable. He's just fun to work with. That person, if you're that person, you will always be able to hold on to a job, or if the company absolutely can't hold on to you for whatever reason, you'll have typically your bosses will say, but I've got a friend who's hiring. I mean, they will help you with their open up their own Rolodex, to kick it old school for a second, to try to help you get a job. Because let me tell you something. It's such a valuable soft skill, just being agreeable and having a work ethic and caring about what you're doing and showing up every day. You're already better than 75% of the other people who aren't that.
Yeah. Emails, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. And I'm sure we're going to get some emails on this show today. Emails, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, on the TKR app and wherever you get your podcast. Before we get in, I get a list of several things, and some of them are pretty easy, like your boss stops talking to you, maybe he wants to give you a pay cut, your mistakes don't seem to matter anymore. Those are glaring red flags that perhaps, and if you're an idiot enough to not think that your mistakes don't mean anything anymore, he doesn't yell at me anymore. That's a bad thing when your boss doesn't yell anymore. He's not engaged with you anymore. But I want to take it to the top. Sometimes you'll hear someone say, I got a job opportunity, and it's a great company. Now, when someone says it's a great company, the first thing you're usually talking about are benefits. Their health insurance is good. They're very liberal with childcare, whatever it is. It's a great company. But I always think to myself, if they're a public company, the first thing I do is I go back and look at the last couple of years in the stock market. I want to know how my company is performing. Particularly if they're making me an offer that seems too good to be true, because I don't know how long my position is going to last. If I'm working for a company that's not doing pretty well, I've got a really good friend of mine who was in a pharmaceutical company, and he lasted 7 years before they let him go. But when he got in this company, the boss was in prison. They were reestablishing the entire business from the bottom up. And again, he was a youngster at the time, so he was willing to take that on, and he did really well, and he got another job out of it. But talk about how important it is to look at your company, see how it's doing. Is your company gone through bankruptcy? All kinds of different things you can look at.
Just observing the overall health. So you've got, when you look at a company, lots of things you can look at. You, just like you said, you can look at the financial health of it. Now, you could have looked out at that Silicon Valley Bank, SVB, yes. Mm-hmm. That recently just folded. And there was a lot of talk out there. And I get it. You know, the tech world and all the tech industry out there, and they probably thought, oh, this bank's got so much more. But then there started to be some whisperings. And at least before they folded, you know, a couple people got wind of it and pulled large sums of dollars out, and, you know, it's kind of an insider's move to be able to do that. But I guarantee you, if people were honest and just paid attention to the culture there, they would be able to, there had to have been some red flags that, you know, that the company's losing money, whispers or whatever. And so those are the kind of things where you can look at the financial health. But even if, so I'll take this to the nonprofit world, because lots of times I would say it's mostly the case. The nonprofits are not swimming in money. You get away from the St. Jude's and the National, the Red Crosses, things like that. You're just talking about your average nonprofit. You know, it's not going to have millions of dollars in reserve. And so lots of times people say, well, I do look at the health of the company. Is this nonprofit going to be around for the next 5-10 years? But then you look at the mission and you're like, you know what? What they do is so important, the lives that they change, and that's where I want to be at. And so you may say, well, the length of how long this company can be here is important. But here with what they're doing, maybe that matters to me more. So somebody may make a decision to go with a fledgling or maybe a nonprofit that's, you know, just doesn't have deep pockets.
Yeah.
But they love that mission.
Yeah.
Or, you know, lots of times people will fall in love with the boss and just say, I love this person's management style. And I love that, you know, I think they're fair. I think I can go to them with anything. And I don't care what the industry is, or I don't care what it is I'm selling. I don't care what kind of widget I'm selling or anything else. I want to go work for this man, or I want to go work for this woman. And I want to be on their team, and wherever they are, if they'll have me, I'm willing to see them, because culture is the number one thing for me.
Everybody's
different in that. Yeah.
And we see that in sports all the time. I mean, how often do you go, wow, I think this player is going to be picked up by this team. Why? Because his former coach is coaching now at that team, or he coached him in high school and knows the type of work ethic he puts in every single day on the field. And, you know, the other thing that's interesting, and this is kind of giving me goosebumps in a bad way, I'm thinking about, you know, when I was let go at Cumulus, and we were hired as a team, we were fired as a team, we were all going in different directions, and people like, what happened? And like, listen, we had a 14-year run. I ran 31 years of that company. And I think after 30 years, people just thought, you know, I'm just going to be there forever. And right. I certainly was one of those people. I was looking, okay, I got 15 more years and I can retire, go to the beach and call it a night. But two things stood out to me. First of all, on my 30th anniversary, no one said a word. which I thought was really strange because I'd been there for 30 years and I was the longest tenured employee in the entire company, and not a thing was made about it. And I didn't want to, and I'm not full of self pride, but I was kind of like, wow, it would have been nice if someone had said something.
Yeah.
The other thing, the other thing is when my boss called me in and it told me about another position with another company that he thought I'd be really good at. Now it was it was with CBS Sports Radio in New York. It was a big program. It was much bigger than what we were doing here in Birmingham. But I thought, okay, that's really nice of you to think that I'd be a great fit there, but I'm working under you now here. Why would you even consider me for like, and it's funny now, but he was like, well, you know, Tony, I'm always looking out for what's best for you. And I really think you'd be a great position. And I, you know, and of course I was like, that was kind of weird. That was kind of strange that he would even think to do that. So, there's signs there. And sometimes we're just so full of ourselves, we don't see them. I want to throw out, and I'm looking at Kick Resume, .blog. And they've got a bunch of different things. I'm going to kind of fly through these. Stop me when you hear something that you think is kind of interesting, because they really are interesting. Number one, work just got a lot easier. We kind of talked about that. Number two, perhaps you feel like the work is impossible to manage. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I will tell you,
do you give your workers too much to do in order to fire them?
Well, I think I've addressed this, I think, on the shows, but I have to tell my employees over and over again that, look, you know, I can't tell where your tank is, how full it is. All I can do is say, okay, I'm going to begin to start. Here's your job description. I'm going to begin to start laying this out and making sure. And if you get to the point that you are getting overwhelmed, either because we're going too fast or I've given you too much to do, I can't see that unless you come forward and tell me that. And people don't want to do that. I mean, I get it, but all I can do is say, look, you have to believe me. I am not interested in sending you home with your head hanging low every day, being burdened by how much you didn't get done.
Yeah.
Because you never get to celebrate your wins. All you're focused on is what you're failing at. And I said, so you have to communicate with me, and it's okay to say, hey, I'm at capacity right here. So maybe if I've got to do these other things, maybe they need some help, or maybe I need to help them get better organized. I mean, it's just a lot of things to look at. Can I thought one that came to my mind right away?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's when you start being put out of the, you're kept out of the loop.
Yes. Yes.
And let me tell you what I thought about when you brought this topic up. First thing that flashed in my mind was the old Friends episode where Chandler was going to work every day and he was the favorite of the boss, and the boss would slap him on the butt every day really hard.
Uh-huh.
And everybody was so jealous. They're like, oh, you're his guy. And Chandler's like, yeah, but it really hurts. And so he confronts the boss and tells the boss not to do it. Well, then the boss starts slapping the other guys and just handshaking with Chandler. Well, Chandler gets jealous and he goes back to the boss because now he's out of the loop.
Yep.
You know, he was the man and he was complaining. Now he wasn't the man. And he went back saying, he said, you want me to smack you on the butt again, don't you? And he said, yes, that's what I want. So it's just human nature. I've done this before too. When you have leaders that you know you've already come to that decision that you're going to be moving on from them, or you're going to be transitioning them into a lesser role. In other words, that they don't have the same amount of influence. Well, then it really doesn't matter that they are in every meeting that affects that department anymore, because you've already, in your mind, you're transitioning. You've already moved on to the next person. And so I have been guilty of this, not necessarily intentionally, but just like, oh, you know what? I should have still probably brought them in. And I've done it accidentally, and people have come to my office and go, hey, y'all had a meeting about so-and-so and I wasn't invited.
Mm-hmm.
Should I take anything by that? And I was like, no, total misunderstanding. I just left you off the invite list. It was an accident. But people start worrying when all of a sudden they're not included, when there's a leaders meeting and you're used to going to that, and now all of a sudden you're not on the invite list. That's a sure sign.
Yeah, and paranoia can be kind of a strange thing. It could be more of a gut thing, or and a lot of people are like, you're just being paranoid. You're just not. And usually if you start feeling that way, and that was one of the last things on this. I'm going to jump forward here. You're looking for signs you're about to get fired. That is probably the worst. When we had a new company take us over 10 or 15 years ago, we knew that across the board, they weren't into three-man shows. They did two-man shows. Every show was a two-man show because there was no reason to have that third voice. Well, we had three shows with three voices on it. And so word got up and down the hallway. They're into two-man shows. They're into two-man shows. They don't do it in any other market but Birmingham. They allow three. And so everyone started saying, well, you know, and I mean, people are like, okay, Tony, you're going to leave the morning show and you're going to be teamed up with this guy and this, that. And I was like, guys, until they sit down with us and actually tell us that's the situation. Again, we went another 5 years doing three-man shows. But if you're looking for signs that you think you're going to be fired, you better get to the copy machine and get your resume rolling, because if you're looking for signs and you obviously, and normally a lot of it's on you, you've given them some reasons to perhaps take a bigger look at you. But if you're looking for signs that you're going to get fired, you're in trouble.
Yeah. And just, I'll tell you something else that really I've seen a lot too, is where the boss starts going around you and dealing directly with your subordinates.
Yep.
So it's not just this leadership group that you're not part of anymore. You're being left out of the loop. Is that your boss is wanting the job done, and so they don't go through you; they go around you. And what that does is it really shows that you have a level of irrelevance. And what begins to happen is the employees who are doing the work start to get the praise, and then the leader starts developing more and more confidence than employee. And now you're the middleman and you're like, but what purpose are you serving? I'm getting everything I need from your subordinate at a lesser rate. So you've become irrelevant. That may have sounds like maybe what happened with your friend that, you know, I don't know what subordinates he had, but all of a sudden he was just kind of out there and not producing the numbers or not spend as much time or whatever the deal was. And then all of a sudden you're like, you know what? They're not, versus what we're paying them, the productivity we're getting back just doesn't make sense anymore.
I've seen this so often too. Number nine, this list is they encourage you to go on vacation. No boss will ever. And I've had three good friends of mine in the radio business who went on vacation and midway through they got fired. They didn't know until they got back, but everyone in the building knew they were fired before they got back, which I think is probably the worst way you could fire an individual, particularly when you're taking your family to Disneyland, and you're dropping $6,000 or $7,000 on this monster vacation because you probably wouldn't have gone knowing that you were going to be fired. But along your lines, your boss wants to meet with you more one-on-one suspiciously often, or you feel your boss has become strangely distant. Your coworkers seem to be avoiding you. They stop inviting you to important meetings, what you just mentioned.
Let me go back. You roll through that really quick, but on the distance thing, because this is something else that I think it's a little more subtle, but you know, when you come in, you kind of establish a rhythm of what you talk about with each coworker. So you may have somebody that's really close to you. It's a peer, could be a subordinate, could be a supervisor, but you just know kind of, you may talk about sports or you may talk about personal things. It all depends on, but whatever you're used to talking with your boss about at whatever level, all of a sudden that starts to diminish. And you're like, you know, we don't talk, I'm used to my boss standing in my office door and talking for 10 minutes every morning.
Yep.
Now it doesn't do that anymore. And because what begins to happen, it's not even a conscious decision. It's a defense mechanism that we use to begin to emotionally withdraw from that person. And so you're just distancing yourself because you know that this relationship is coming to an end.
Well, that's psychological, man. That is.
It is. It's a psychological thing that lots of times you're not doing it to you. You're not like, hey, I don't want to go talk to that guy anymore. You just know this isn't going to end well, and so that doesn't draw you closer. You like, hey, I want to create some distance. So when the time does come, it's going to make it easier to either terminate or to say goodbye to this person.
I know that, and we only just have a few more minutes, and there's a couple others. Your mistakes don't seem to matter anymore. We mentioned that. There's a job opening for your position, which is obviously not good unless you're in expansion mode. your tasks are reduced, which I don't think is ever a good thing if all of a sudden they start taking work off your plate. Sure. The funny one is your superior keeps asking if you're okay. That is not, and I know you're a very compassionate individual. I know you're a guy who likes to know about your employees' families, their wives, what's going on in their lives. I think that's great. That's wonderful. But if your boss keeps saying, are you okay? That means that you're starting to show your emotions on your sleeve or your heart on your shoulder. And that is not a good, that's not a good look. It's not a good thing.
That's right. This is some of this goes along with that same psychological thing about distancing. Cause one of the things that I think about is if you have a boss who, whether he or she praises a lot or just praises some, whatever level of praise you're used to, all of a sudden that begins to be diminished. So when I'm trying to really encourage employees, I'm going to find sometimes small things that they're doing. I just try to find wins in the small things. So even, it may not be something that, hey, I'm going to broadcast over social media, but I just may say, hey, you know what? I really noticed last couple of weeks you've really been nailing this task. And I just want you to know, I've noticed that and I really appreciate it. And so so if they're used to that, maybe once a month or once every couple of weeks, you get a little pat on the back or attaboy. And all of a sudden those stop, even though you're still doing the same, in your mind, the same type stuff. It's the praise has stopped. And I think that also goes back to the psychological withdrawing aspect, because they're not looking to find things to elevate your mindset. They are preparing you that you're not doing a job that's satisfactory, or this company's relationship with you is ending because your value is no longer what it was.
All right. Coming up next week, we're going to spin this because we're talking about red flags you get fired. Let's do just the opposite. That is, what are you worth in your company? When you're busting your hind end, you know you're doing a great job. How to ask for raises. What's the best way to get a raise, particularly if you're in a company that's hurting a little bit, maybe on the bottom line. And we got a lot of kids that are going to be graduating college coming up here in the next few weeks. I'd love Michael Coleman's thoughts on the best way to get hired. What do you need to do, not only in the interview process, but what you need to put on your resume? And what are some of those things that you've seen over your illustrious career as a boss? What are you looking for in your employees to maybe get hired in a field that you feel like you could do for the rest of your life? We'll get into that next week. Tell people how they can find you, Michael.
Yeah, go to mafb.org. That's Montgomery Food Bank, and you're able to support us. Love that support. We spend every day trying to reach out to seniors, children, and families who are battling hunger and food insecurity. Love your support. But my email's on there. You can reach out to me anytime with any questions or any thoughts that you have, any specific questions you want me to tackle, or you'd like Tony and I to tackle together. I couldn't do it without Tony. And and just appreciate everybody, continue to appreciate everybody who listens.
info@tonycurryradio.net, info@tonycurryradio.net. We'll drop your emails in next week as well. Thank you, Michael. Till next week, man. Appreciate you.
All right, brother. Back at you.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.